Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Good morning. This program is sponsored by the Good News Christian Ministries, found at Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG1WO. This is Donald Crisp. I am the lead pastor of the First Baptist Church of Smiths Falls. And folks, it's my privilege to bring the Good News message to you today. As I say each time I'm on the air, we need to focus. Think of it. Today is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is always wonderful to have God's people gather on God's day to hear God's word. Oh, and also to receive God's blessing. Oh, may God bless our hearing of today's message. May we commit ourselves to listen with all our hearts. My prayer today is that God would bless us, encourage us, challenge us, and comfort us. May each of us turn our hearts toward home as he speaks to us and draws us near to his side. My message today is entitled, and it really is a question I'd like to address, it's entitled, Why Did Jesus Come to Planet Earth? Why did Jesus come to planet Earth? Well, there's so many answers as you search the scriptures. John 3:16 says, he was sent. For God so loved the world that he gave, or he sent his only son, to be born of Mary, to go to the cross, to pay for our sins. That's why he came, to rise again, to prove that he could defeat death and the devil and sin. That's why he came. And also Luke chapter 19 verse 10, Jesus speaking to Zacchaeus and to the religious leaders of that day, he says why he came. He says, I've come to seek and to save the lost. He knew that we were lost, that humanity was lost deep within their sins. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible says that for the wages of that sin is death. The Bible reminds us that someone had to die and to pay the price for the sins of the world. Jesus knew that we were dead people, men and women who were dead, lost in their sins. That's why in John 10:10, he also said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Isn't that exciting? He came to those who were lost. He came to those who were dead in their sins. And he said, I've come to find you. I've come to seek you. I've come to save you. I've come to free you and to give you life. Now, how exciting is that? Again, my message today is entitled, Why Did Jesus Come to Planet Earth? I want us to focus actually on another verse. It's John 18, verse 37, and it directly tells us why Jesus came. It's his words, why he came to planet Earth. And this is what it says. Jesus speaking, For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come to the world. Well, I'm not going to finish that verse. Let's just hold on to that. He says, he reminds us he had a purpose when he was born and a purpose why he came to the world, and then he tells us why he came. Yes, why did Jesus come to planet Earth? You know what? I think if we look to the cross this morning, we can see why he came. At the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away, was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Look to the cross. We will see why he came. To demonstrate his love for us. Let's listen to that old hymn, at the cross, found on the World's Greatest Hymns CD.
My Savior bleed and did my sovereign die.
that foundational question, why did Jesus come to planet Earth? Why did he come to the world? Some would answer, Romans 5:8 said he came to demonstrate his very own love to us, that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, how true. But let's go back to John 18:37. This is what he says. For this purpose I was born. For this purpose I've come to the world, or to planet Earth. And here it is. To bear witness to the truth. To bear witness to the truth. Boy, we're going to have to stop and think about that and ponder. What did he mean by that? Folks, look at the culture that we live in today, and I'm sure this applies to the culture that Jesus lived in. But certainly, for our culture, this is true. Do you agree? We live in a truth-challenged culture. I heard a story the other day. A little boy goes to the blackboard, teacher's watching, and he writes on the board, 7 times 5 equals 75. And he sits down. Teacher walks forward and looks at him and says, excuse me. She's trying to find the words. That's not right. And he looked at her and he said, it may be wrong to you, but I feel real good about it. Yeah, that's the kind of world we live in today when it comes to truth. If it feels good, it must be true. If it's my truth, then that's my truth, and your truth is your truth. We live in a truth-challenged culture. Jesus said, for this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I've come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Let's unpack that and just get at the heart of what he means. First, he says, to bear witness. It's an interesting phrase, isn't it? To bear witness. As I reflect on this, the fact of the matter is, as a believer and follower of Jesus Christ, a person who has been changed by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm on record saying once I was lost and now I've been found. And I claim to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Therefore, I am a witness to the fact that he's changed me and that he lives in me and through me. I'm a witness to the fact that he's changed my life. In the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 43, verse 10, the Lord says to his people, you are my witnesses, says the Lord, my servant whom I have chosen, that you might know, that you might understand, that you might believe that I am God. Before me there was no God formed, and neither shall there be after me. I and I alone am the Lord God, your Savior. He challenged his people to be witnesses to that truth. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus has died, he's resurrected, he's about to ascend to the Father. His disciples are gathered around him, wondering what wonderful thing will he say before he leaves. And this is what he says, be my witnesses. Wow. I believe he meant, be my witnesses to the truth. Now, a witness is someone who verbally and also non-verbally gives evidence to the fact that they've seen something, they've experienced something, and Jesus is wanting us to be witnesses to the truth. Those who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ are to be witnesses either to the advancement or the detriment of the gospel, just by the way you live. The fact is, as a follower of Jesus Christ, people watch how you live. And you will either advance the kingdom or you will be a detriment to the gospel just by the way you live. The word witness actually comes from the word martyr. Did you know that? The word martyr? What was Jesus really saying? He was saying, for this purpose I was born and for this purpose I have come into the world to bear witness to the truth, to be martyred for the truth. In other words, he's saying, I need to learn, I need to show you that I'm going to model how to live well, and I'm going to model how to die well. Everyone who is of the truth, he says, listens to my voice. Let's carry on with that thought. Point two, committed followers of Jesus Christ, we also are to bear witnesses to that truth. We need to know the truth and know that the truth will set men and women free. If Jesus said, for this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I've come into the world to bear witnesses to the truth, then we have to carry the torch. We have to be the ones who bear witness to the truth as well, even though we live in a truth-challenged world. The fact is, those early disciples knew that they needed to live well and die well, and they knew they need to be witnesses for Christ, martyrs for Christ. Simon Peter knew that Jesus was asking him to live well and be prepared to die well. He died by crucifixion, upside down. Andrew knew what Jesus Christ meant, and he died by crucifixion. James heard the call as well from his master to live well and be a martyr or a witness and die well. He suffered death by beheading. Philip also knew what the Lord was saying, and he was suffered death by stoning for his faith. Nathanael suffered death by drowning for his faith. Matthew also died for Christ. He was a martyr for Christ. He was a witness for Christ. They nailed him to a stake, and he was burnt alive. Thomas heard the call while in India, and he was driven through by a spear for his faith. He learned to live well. He learned to die well. He was a witness for Christ, a martyr for Christ. James the Less, he was beaten, stoned, and then crucified. Each one of those disciples got the message. Judas, not Judas Iscariot, the other Judas, he was clubbed to death for his faith. Oh, yes, don't forget Simon the Zealot. He was assassinated for Christ, lived well, died well. He was a witness for Christ. He was a martyr for Christ. Even John, who wrote the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and the Apocalypse, the Revelation of John, he died as an old man from isolation. But he knew the fact that Jesus wanted him to live well and indeed die well. And we all know today that's exactly what he did. Scripture, actually 75 times in the New Testament, really focuses on truth. Listen to Scripture, John chapter 1, verse 17. We hear these words. We read these words. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. John 14, 6, Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, in a truth-challenged world, boy, that's quite a statement. I'm the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me and by me. John 17, 17, he says, sanctify them by the truth. Your word, O Lord, is truth. John 4, 24, God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth. Those are the words of Jesus. John 8, 32, again, the words of Jesus. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Oh, yes, back to John 14, Jesus says in verse 16, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor. Now, we know that's the Holy Spirit. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. And what's the name of that other counselor? The Spirit of Truth. John 16, 13, Jesus says, and when the Spirit of Truth comes, or the Holy Spirit, he will guide you into all truth. Jesus came to bear witness to the truth because he knew that this world will get off track. The Apostle Paul picks up that theme in 1 Timothy 2, 3 and 4, and he says, this is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to come to a knowledge of the truth. Folks, the fact is most people don't know the truth about who Jesus is, or know the truth about what the gospel really is. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, the Apostle Paul writes this, and I believe this describes our culture today, particularly in Canada. The time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Indeed, or instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to hear what they want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. Wow. Here's the truth about the truth. About, I believe, North American Christianity, North American churches, and about our Canadian culture. Are you ready? We, again, live in a truth-challenged culture. Therefore, I believe we suppress the truth. Romans 1:18. We distort the truth. Acts 20, verse 30. We reject the truth. Romans 2, verse 8. We exchange the truth of God for a lie. Romans 1:25. That's what's wrong with our culture. Because, and I'm just going to focus on Canadians because we're Canadians, because of Canadian tolerance, we suppress the truth. Because of Canadian innocence, or polluted innocence, we distort the truth. Because of Canadian apathy, we reject the truth. Because, quite frankly, we don't want to offend anybody, and sometimes I wonder whether we actually care. And also because of Canadian polluted priorities, we exchange the truth of God for a lie. Back to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. The time will come, says Paul, when men and women will not put up with sound doctrine, instead to suit their own desires. They will gather around them a great number of teachers to hear what they want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth. Boy, does that ever describe our world today. Jesus is speaking to this issue when he says, for this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I've come to planet Earth, to bear witness to the truth, and everyone who is of the truth will listen to my voice. Here it is, folks. God's Word is truth. God's Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. That's what the psalmist said. As a matter of fact, let's break for a moment and listen to Amy Grant singing that from her CD entitled Thy Word.
Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto I feel afraid, think I've lost my way, still you're there right beside me. Nothing will I fear as long as you are near. Please be near me to the end. Thy word is a lamp unto my side, and I will love you to the end. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light.
Yes, we must bear witness to the truth, and we must focus on the truth that comes from God's Word. Thirdly, let me just speak for a moment about relational connections when it comes to truth. This is amazing. Dartmouth Medical School commissioned a scientific study of young people. The project was called Hardwired to Connect. Hardwired to Connect. And this is what the report said. The report stated that 100% of all the studies that they analyzed showed that from the moment a baby's born, his or her brain is physically, biologically, and chemically hardwired to connect with others in relationships. Okay, is it just me? Did we really need to put $1 million and millions of dollars into a study to find that out? That babies need to be in a relationship, babies need to be held, babies need to be spoken to? Okay, sorry for being cynical. Anyway, the truth is that they learned that in the brain that it is physically, biologically, and chemically hardwired to connect with others in relationships. Let me piggyback on that. You see, I want to say to you right now, Christianity is not a religion. This is what our faith separates us from all other religions. Christianity is a relationship with the living God. Christianity is a relationship with a God who loves you and who says, hey, you matter to me. Some have defined Christianity this way. They said, it is a way of knowing and being and living in right relationship. Did you catch that? In a right relationship with God, with ourselves, with others, and the world around us. And when we live this way, oh, our joy is complete. Here's the truth. As believers and committed followers of Jesus Christ, we are called by God to be witnesses, martyrs for Christ. Prepared to live for him, prepared to die for him. We're prepared, secondly, to focus on the truth. Hold the banner high. Hold the torch high, the truth torch. We need to connect, thirdly, to Jesus relationally. Fourthly, I'm entitling this fourth point, Relevant Truths of the Faith. You know, it's kind of interesting. Did you know that at 100 AD, the historians tell us there were approximately 25,000 Christians on planet Earth? Let me say that again. 100 AD, roughly 25,000 Christians. Now just go turn the tape back a little bit and think about it. Jesus, around 30 AD, he chose 12. The movement began. It became 70. And then after that, it became a few thousand. And then the church began to grow. By 100 AD, just about 70 years after Jesus was crucified and rose again and ascended to the Father, about 70 years later, there's now 25,000 Christians on planet Earth. Wow. Now here's my point. 200 years later, in 300 AD, there are 20 million Christians. 20 million. Do you know from 100 AD to 300 AD, that was the greatest time of persecution ever on planet Earth for Christians? That's when they threw Christians, the Romans threw the Christians into the lion's den. Nero used to put Christians up on a pole in his garden and tar them and light them and let them burn alive just to light up his gardens. The reality is the church actually grew under that kind of persecution. In 325 AD, 300 church fathers met in the city of Nicaea, Asia Minor, to affirm the foundational truths of Christianity. In other words, they looked and they said, you know, we've noticed from 100 AD to 300 AD, and they met in 325 AD, that there were three things that the church focused on during that time of growth and during that time of persecution. And here are the three points they pointed to. They said the three foundational truths of our faith are as follows: creation, incarnation, and recreation. Now, to our society today, we would need some help just identifying what those words are. Well, you know what? Take your kids outside some night and just help them to look to the stars and just look and see the amazing solar system. Take them into the woods and let them look at God, what God has created. We can go anywhere around the world and we would just stand in awe at his incredible creation. What they meant by incarnation is the fact that Jesus came. That's the Christmas story connected to the Easter story. Jesus came. It was prophesied he'd be born of Mary. That's the incarnation. He is 100% man, 100% God. And that's the incarnation. He came to save the world. He came to rescue the world. And that's the Easter story. He went to the cross. He died for us, paid for our sins, rose again on that third day. That's the whole message of incarnation, the Christmas story, the Easter story. And we're just excited. And then there's recreation. Jesus says to one of the religious leaders of his day, Nicodemus, a brilliant man, he speaks to him about recreation. Well, what does that mean? Well, he said to him this, Nicodemus, you must be born again. He could have said, Nicodemus, you're really a pretty bright guy. You have a lot of facts on religion. You have a lot of facts on the faith. But the reality is you need to be born again. Nicodemus said, well, how can I be born again? Go back into my mother's womb? That doesn't make any sense. Jesus said, no. You need to be born from above. You need to be born of the Spirit. You can have information, but you know what? Information isn't going to get you into heaven. What you need is a relationship with the living God. Oh, today, when we look at those three foundational truths, we're able to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for creating me. Thank you, God, for coming for me. That's the incarnation. Thank you, God, for recreating me, for loving me, for dying for me, for forgiving me. God, I thank you for these three foundational truths. Thank you, Jesus, that you came to bear witness to the fact that you loved me and you wanted to die for me and you wanted me to run into your arms and have a relationship with me. Oh, God, thank you so much. Folks, would you pause for a moment with me for a word of prayer? Father, we thank you for this message. We thank you for the reminder of who you are and who we are in relationship to you. I pray for all who have been listening today that they would run into your arms. Feel the strength of those arms, the love from those arms. Those are forgiving arms. And I thank you, our Heavenly Father, that the truth of the matter is that Jesus is alive. And those who believe in him will live forever as well. We'll be heaven bound when the time comes to leave planet Earth ourselves. We thank you for the good news of that message, Father. We love you, and we thank you for loving us first. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, my friends, in conclusion, I want to thank you for being here and listening to this message and allowing God to speak to you. You know what? Your prayerful encouragement is great. You know, your God-led financial support of this ministry, this radio ministry, is necessary. You need to know that your faithful prayers and your gracious giving, it empowers and enables this ministry to go on from week to week to week. Without you, we can't do it. We cannot do this ministry without you. So therefore, let me encourage you to make out a check payable to the Good News Christian Ministries. Send it to Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG 1WA, 1WO. That's KOG 1WO. Mark the check, Good News Broadcast, and we'll send you a receipt at income tax time. Again, a personal note, if you've prayed today to receive the Savior, or you've recommitted your life to Christ, or you want to make a comment to say, hey, this radio program's speaking to me, these messages are helping me, I would just like to come alongside you and with you thank God for what he's doing. You can email me at doncrisp@hotmail.com. That's D-O-N-C-R-I-S-P at hotmail.com. I'm looking forward to hearing from you. Now, please, encourage others to listen to this radio ministry. You can listen to this program each Sunday morning, 6:30 a.m. on CFRA 580 a.m. or on Rogers Cable 927 or online at CFRA.com. You can also go to our website, Good News Christian Ministries, and click on broadcast, and the message will be right there. My friends, don't forget to worship in a church that proclaims Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world, and a church that points you to the cross, a church that will equip you and encourage you to embrace our Lord's will for your life, a church that faithfully holds high the Bible and does not waver from the principles or the precepts or the promises that are found within it, a church that actually tells the truth. Father, we pray that you would inspire us and instruct us to live lives worthy of you. We pray that you would empower us to live for you, bringing honor and glory to your name. Amen. My friends, as we conclude today's program, let's listen to that great old hymn, My Jesus, I Love You. What a response to this message by saying, Jesus, my Jesus, I love you. I love thee. This is found on the World's Greatest Hymn CD. Now may God bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you. May you live with courage, faith, and love. May you be grace agents for Christ in a world that is hungering for hope and truth and love. May God bless you. Amen.
My Jesus, I love you. I know. For thee all the fires of sin I resign. I love thee for wearing the thorns on thy brow. If
News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.